This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein. I hope the day finds you blessed and full of the Spirit of God. We want to pray as we go to our teaching. We thank you for tuning in and being a part of our teaching here today. Had a lot of great comments. Appreciate those who's called and emailed or give us a note. And we've had several requests for some messages or teaching messages, and we're going to be working on them just here in the weeks that lie ahead. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing, God, that you're going to give today for the teaching of your Word. God, open hearts, minds, and souls that might be receptive of the Word and of the Spirit of God. God, grant these things now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look in a section of Scripture over in 1 Kings and in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. And it come down under the time of here. And let me give you just a little bit of the story about it. A great message in this entire section of Scripture here about Elijah and when he called the fire down from heaven. And that's a great message in itself. And we minister and teach from that a whole lot. And but we see how that they had been a decree here to the point whichever one that could call down the fire. That was basically, and over in this first part of the 18th chapter, over in verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And, you know, I want you to understand, I never believed that God meant for them to actually to follow Baal or let Baal be God. This is the way that God anointed Elijah to put it before the people. And he went on to say, and let me read the next couple of verses, and then we'll go down to the part that I want to really cover. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put it on the fire, and put put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And the God, here's what they're going to do. They're going to call on the God. And verse 24, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And then we look here and see how that for the greater part of the day, they tried to, you know, bring down the fire. Verse 28 of the 18th chapter, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. Verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Then it goes into the rest of the chapter there. It tells about how he did call down the fire. He did put water, four barrels, three times. And he was still able to call down the fire that consumed this sacrifice and even lapped the water up out of the ditch. But Notice in the understanding here, he had to repair the altar. And I want to teach today on the thought repairing the altar. And if there's ever been a day in America that we need to repair the altars of the house of God, it's today. We've watched complacency spirits within the church come in. And the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away. I realize today even more that people, it's harder and harder to get people to worship God. It's harder and harder to get them to focus on God. We need a move of God in our community, in our state, in our nation. We need to go back to the old landmarks of God, and we need to repair altars in the house of God. If we're going to see this end-day revival that we need to see and see the manifestations of the Spirit upon the church and upon the altar, we've got to repair the altar. First of all, how are we going to repair the altar? One way we can repair the altar is get all the false doctrine off of the pulpit. It is a mockery to God for a preacher to get up in the pulpit and declare that he don't believe in virgin birth, or declare that he don't believe in the death, burial, or resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the sad thing of it is, so many of the preachers preaching don't really believe in the full understanding of the Bible, and they're almost a mockery to God when they get up. If you don't believe in the power of God, the Bible says, you know, if you resist the power of God, you're going to receive unto yourself damnation of your soul. So we need preachers, first of all, if we're going to repair the altar in our churches, we need preachers that'll go back to the truth, that'll preach Jesus Christ, him crucified, preach him coming in the clouds of glory to gather his church, and preach the truth of God's word, that the blood cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness, and nothing but the blood can wash away our sins. And that they go and preach the full conviction of the Bible, not just bedtime tales and funny little gestures and jokes that makes people laugh. You know, there's sometimes I say things that make people laugh, but I don't base my whole message or my whole teaching around getting somebody to laugh. Now, I know laughter is good and joy of the Lord is our strength, and I'm aware of all those things. But I'm telling you, my friend, we need the basic fundamental doctrines of the Bible presented from our pulpit. We need to get everything out of our church that's not righteous and not holy. To this day, I cannot eat in the house where I go to worship. Now, if you've got an annex building or something, a fellowship building, you know, that's a different story. But I cannot go in the sanctuary of God's house and eat and drink and just carry on a bunch of stuff like that. I watch people bring Coca-Colas and cups of coffee and everything else right in the house of God. And you never see no movement out of them. You never see no spirit with on what they do. Amen. And, you know, a little water, sometime you have to have a little water when you're singing or speaking or something. That's understandable. But when you begin to take of different beverages, you begin to take of other things that are, you know, not basically the just a little something to clear your throat, but they're just like you go sit down and rest or eat. Then so many churches are, it's all about fundraisers. They just all day and every day, it's just about where they can make money and how they can make money and how they can have a yard sale, how they can have a rummage sale, how they can have a potluck supper or a spaghetti dinner. And there's a place for all these things. But if that becomes the priority of our church, then we need to repair the altar and get back to the standards. God said his house was a house of prayer. You know, the ones that he sent them out and whipped them with a whip. And he said, you know, my house is not a den of thieves, but it'll be called a house of prayer. in repairing the altar, we're going to have to put some prayer around the altar. People are in such a hurry now. The minute you say the last statement of whatever you're preaching, you see them getting their duds, they're gone. They're not interested in coming and tearing around the altar. The saints of old used to tear around the altar for hours. And when they had something to pray about, the old terminology called praying through. How long has it been since you prayed through? Prayed through till you touched the glory of God. Prayed through till you touched the anointing and the power of God. And when we repair the altar, we will have a new anointing on the altar. We will have a new touch of the Spirit. And men will fall under conviction. Women will fall under conviction that are in sin. But so many preachers are guilty today of watching and make sure they don't touch on anything that's going to bring anybody under any condemnation, more or less, you know, and under conviction. And I'm going to tell you, when the word's preached, if you are living in sin, you'll come under condemnation right quick. You'll come under conviction. Now, the Bible says those who are in Christ, we're not under condemnation anymore. See, the blood of Jesus washes us and cleanses us and sets us free from our sins, and we're not under that condemnation. There's no, the preaching of the cross to them perishes foolishness, but unto the man or the woman that's saved and born again by the Spirit of God, it's the power of God unto salvation. We rejoice in the preaching of the cross. We enjoy the preaching of the cross, that Jesus became the propitiation for sin. He became the price paid for sin. And he went to Calvary and fulfilled what he came to this earth to do, that no man would take his life from him, but he would lay it down of his own accord. Sometimes it's all I can do to just teach, because I want to shout and run and wave my arms and declare the vivacious Spirit of God that comes down when you dwell in his word and you minister his word. But I want to try to contain myself, be blessed at a later time, and try to get the message out there to some lost and dying sinner that does not have God. And a lot of people say, well, you know, the church is just full of hypocrites, and I always say, come on in, one more ain't going to hurt anything, but that's just a joke. Because honestly, the church, the sinner sees the church as it is. He sees the church as being hypocritical. And are we not hypocritical when we go to church and all we do is try to con a dollar out of somebody? We try to sell them a hot dog or some old rummage, or we try to sell them something from a yard sale in the name of the Lord. And are we not fulfilling what the sinner says? We're hypocrites. We need to go back to the basics of what this thing is about. And I don't mean to harp or ride a hobby horse, as I say, about certain things. But I know in the years that I ministered, 45 years, I've seen the complacency spirits come in the church. I've seen the church turn from worshiping and praying around the altar to being entertained. I know where there's a large Pentecostal church that they have a man committee, and this is an abomination in the sight of God, but they have a man committee that dancers, women in the church, try out before these men, and the ones that they like, they choose them, and they let them dance in their service. Now, this is an abomination. This is where the altar needs to be repaired. And if we want the fire of God, and let me conclude this teaching by saying, if we want the fire of God, we're going to have to repair the altar in our church. We're going to have to get rid of these things that have come in and crowded out the true move of God. Let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the fact you did send the fire on Elijah's sacrifice, and that you did consume it. You did send the fire. You did lap up the water out of the ditch. You did fulfill you to be God in that hour. And I believe you're still God. And to those that will repair the altar and gather around the altar and seek your face, I believe you'll come and move and bless them. Now, Lord, rekindle the fire in the hearts of souls that maybe is backslid. Lord, touch those that need a touch from you. Give them healing. Give them a miracle. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. Till the next teaching, amen.